Hi, I'm Oakland. Life hasn't exactly been kind to me lately. I've been working 3 jobs just to keep a roof over our heads since Dad split 5 years ago. The tiny apartment in the bad part of town is all we can afford, especially with Mom's medical bills piling up faster than I can pay them. We're going to need to start dialysis next week, or her kidneys will fail completely. The doctor's words echoed in my head as I counted the measly tips from my waitressing shift. $217. That wouldn't even cover the prescriptions, let alone the new treatments. I was scrubbing tables at the diner when this fancy lady walked in, looking completely out of place with her designer clothes and pearl necklace. "Are you Oakland Miller?" She stood there like she owned the place. "Depends who's asking." I didn't have time for whatever this was. "I'm Margaret Hayes, CEO of Hayes Industries." She slid a business card across the sticky table. "I have a proposition that could solve all your financial problems." I laughed. "Lady, unless you're offering me a winning lottery ticket, I doubt it. Something better. Marriage to my son." I nearly dropped my cleaning spray. "Excuse me?" An hour later, I was sitting in her fancy car heading to the hospital, listening to the craziest proposal of my life. "My son Victor has been in a coma for 6 months. The board is threatening to remove him as CEO unless he has a spouse who can legally make decisions. You marry him, I pay for your mother's medical care. Simple transaction." "This can't be legal." "It's perfectly legal. A marriage of convenience with significant benefits for you." I stared at the contract she handed me. $300,000 for my mother's treatments, plus a monthly stipend. All I had to do was marry a guy who wouldn't even know I existed. "What's the catch?" "Daily hospital visits. Must maintain appearances." Margaret checked her watch. "And absolute discretion." 2 days later, I was standing beside a hospital bed, saying "I do" to an unconscious man while a judge and 2 witnesses looked on uncomfortably. "Congratulations, Mrs. Hayes," Margaret said coldly after it was done. "Your mother's treatments begin tomorrow." That was 3 weeks ago. Every day since, I've dutifully visited the hospital, sitting beside my husband for the required hour. Sometimes I'd read magazines. Sometimes I'd just stare out the window, wondering how my life turned into this bizarre arrangement. "Your mom's first round of dialysis went well," my friend Darren told me over the phone as I sat in Victor's room. "But Margaret hasn't paid for the next session yet." "What? She promised?" I hung up, furious. This wasn't the deal. I looked at Victor lying there, so still and peaceful. Handsome, actually, with his strong jaw and dark hair. This whole situation was his mother's doing, not his. "Your mom's playing games with my mother's life," I whispered to him. "Not cool, husband." On impulse, frustration, anger, who knows, I leaned over and pressed my lips to his forehead. "I could use some backup here." Then his eyelids fluttered. His fingers twitched, and suddenly, dark eyes were staring right into mine. "Who the hell are you?" Victor rasped, his voice hoarse from months of disuse. My heart nearly stopped. "I'm your wife." Victor's face turned from confusion to anger in seconds. He tried to sit up but fell back against the pillows, still weak. "Wife? That's impossible. I wasn't even dating anyone." His voice was raspy, like sandpaper. I quickly poured him a cup of water. "It's complicated. Your mother arranged it while you were..."
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
The door swung open and Margaret froze mid-step, dropping her designer purse. "Oh my God, Victor, you're awake. Don't oh my God me, mother. What the hell is going on? Victor pointed weakly at me. This woman says she's my wife. Margaret recovered quickly, smoothing her skirt. Darling, you've been in a coma for 6 months. The board was going to vote you out. I had to take measures to protect your position. I crossed my arms. Speaking of measures, you promised to pay for my mother's dialysis. My friend just called. It hasn't happened. A simple oversight. I'll handle it tomorrow. Margaret waved dismissively. Not tomorrow, now. I stood my ground. That was our deal. Victor looked between us. Would someone please explain what's happening? The next hour was awkward as hell. Margaret spun some story about saving the company while I filled in the blanks about our arrangement. A nurse came in, freaked out that Victor was awake, and called for the doctor. After Margaret left to make arrangements, Victor turned to me. She's lying about everything. I wasn't in an accident. What do you mean? He glanced at the door. The last thing I remember is dinner with my mother and Uncle Reginald, then waking up feeling like I'd been hit by a truck. You think they did this to you? The thought made my stomach turn. I know they did. Reginald wanted my position. He's been after it for years. My phone buzzed with a text from Darren. Hospital says payment denied again. Your mom's treatment canceled. I showed Victor the message. Your mother played me. Not surprising. His jaw tightened. My family uses people like tissues. The doctor arrived, checking Victor's vitals and asking questions about what he remembered. When he left, Victor motioned for me to come closer. Don't trust Dr. Phillips either. He's on my family's payroll. This is insane. I'm calling the police. Victor grabbed my wrist. And tell them what? That you married a comatose man for money? That my mother and uncle might have drugged me. We need evidence. He was right. I sat down, defeated. So what now? Now we play their game. You stay my wife, for real this time. What? No way. I'm out of this crazy family drama. If you walk away, they win. Your mother gets no treatment, and I probably end up back in a coma or worse. He actually managed a weak smile. Besides, technically, you already said I do. This is not how I pictured marriage. Me neither. But we can help each other. I need someone I can trust, and you need money for your mother's care. My phone buzzed again. Darren. Your mom's asking for you. She's not doing well. I'll transfer funds to your account tonight, Victor said. Enough for your mother's treatment, but we need to work together to bring down Reginald and my mother. How do I know you won't screw me over too? Because unlike them, I still have a conscience. He tried to sit up again. Help me out of this bed. We've got work to do. You just woke up from a coma! And they'll try to put me back in one if we don't move fast. He looked me in the eyes. Are you in, Oakland? I took a deep breath. Yeah, I'm in. 2 weeks after Victor woke up, we had settled into a strange routine. He was getting stronger every day, and I split my time between the hospital, my mom's bedside, and spying on his family. This flash drive has all the company's financial records for the past year, Victor said, handing me a tiny black device. I need you to take this to my office while I distract my mother. Won't security stop me? Not when you flash this. He handed me a diamond ring that probably cost more than my entire life. My grandmother's. Might as well make this marriage look real. The Hayes Industries headquarters was intimidating. All glass and steel and people in expensive suits. I clutched my thrift store handbag tighter as I approached the front desk. Mrs. Hayes to see Camilla Johnson? I announced, flashing the ring. 10 minutes later, I was sitting across from Margaret's executive assistant, a pinch-faced woman with perfectly manicured nails. Mr. Hayes instructed me to collect some files, I explained. I wasn't informed of this. Camilla eyed me suspiciously. That's weird, since he specifically mentioned working with you on the Peterson account. This was the trap Victor had set up. Camilla's face paled. The Peterson account? He mentioned that specifically? Yeah, said something about unusual transfers. While Camilla nervously pulled files, I slipped the flash drive into the computer and ran the program Victor had prepared. Within minutes, I had copied everything we needed, including proof that Camilla had been moving millions into offshore accounts on Margaret's orders. That evening, I confronted Margaret in Victor's hospital room, phone recording in my pocket. "Weird thing happened today. I met your assistant, Camilla." Margaret barely looked up from her magazine. "So?" "So I saw some interesting bank statements. Peterson account ring any bells?" The magazine dropped. "You little gold digger. You think you can blackmail me?" "Not blackmail. Just curious why you're stealing from your son's company while he's in a coma you helped cause." "You can't prove anything." "Maybe not about the coma, but the money? That's already documented." Margaret stood up, getting in my face. "Listen carefully. I made you, and I can break you just as easily. Do you think anyone would believe some nobody from the wrong side of town over me?" "They might if they heard you admit to drugging your son." Her eyes widened. "I never said that." "You didn't deny it either. And now Dr. Phillips is talking." This was a bluff, but Margaret didn't know that. She grabbed her phone and stormed out, already dialing. I texted Victor, who was meeting with board members. She took the bait. While Margaret was gone, Dr. Phillips arrived for Victor's checkup. I closed the door behind him. "Mrs. Hayes just left to call you. Something about keeping your mouth shut?" The doctor froze. "I don't know what you're talking about." "The induced coma. The drugs Reginald asked you to administer. We have the financial records showing he paid you $250,000. Another bluff, but Dr. Phillips crumbled instantly. "It was supposed to be temporary, just until the merger went through. They said he'd wake up naturally." "Record that confession, and Victor won't press charges against you." Later that night, Victor called from his newly reclaimed office. "The board is back on my side. The annual gala is in 3 days. Everyone who matters will be there." "Including Reginald and your mom?" "Front and center. Time to finish this." "You sure you're strong enough?" "For revenge? Always. Besides, I've got my wife to lean on." I couldn't help but smile. "Don't get used to it. Once this is over, we're done." "We'll see about that, Oakland. We'll see." The Hayes Industries annual charity gala sparkled with wealth and privilege. Victor stood tall in his tuxedo while I tried not to trip in heels that cost more than my monthly rent. "Stop fidgeting," Victor whispered. "You're about to help take down an empire." Reginald approached first, fake smile plastered on his face. "Victor, the prodigal nephew returns. And this must be the bride we've heard about." "Save it, Uncle. We both know you expected me to stay in that hospital bed permanently." Victor clinked his glass, silencing the room. "Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to make an announcement. My coma wasn't an accident. It was orchestrated by my own family." "This is absurd," Margaret hissed, pushing through the crowd. "We have Dr. Phillips's signed confession." I stepped forward as the doctor entered with police officers. "And evidence of $12 million embezzled while Victor was unconscious." The projector behind us displayed damning financial records as the crowd gasped. "This is slander." Margaret turned to her assistant. "Camilla, explain these fabricated documents." Camilla moved to stand beside us. "I've already given my statement to the SEC. I was following orders, and I have the emails to prove it." Reginald lunged at Victor, but was quickly restrained by security as police moved in. "Reginald Hayes, you're under arrest for attempted murder, conspiracy, and fraud." Margaret backed away, desperately searching for escape. "You can't do this to me. I'm Margaret Hayes." "Not anymore," Victor replied coldly. "The board has already voted. You're out." Later that night, we visited my mother in her new private room. "I still can't believe all this," she said, looking healthier already with proper treatment. After she fell asleep, Victor and I walked to the hospital garden. "So what now?" I asked. "Mission accomplished. You got your company back, the bad guys are facing justice, and my mom's getting the care she needs."
"Now we get a divorce, if that's what you want."
I looked at him, surprised.
"That was the deal, right?"
"The deal has changed." He took my hand. "When I woke up and saw you, I thought you were just another schemer.
but you've proven to be the most honest person in my life. Are you saying what I think you're saying? I'm saying we could tear up those divorce papers. Try this for real. 6 months ago, I was drowning in debt. Now I'd taken down corporate villains and helped save a multi-million-dollar company. You know, I only married you for your money, I teased. And I only woke up because you kissed me. Seems fair. Let's give it 6 months, I said. No promises. No promises, Victor agreed. Except one, no more comas. What would you do in Oakland's position? Would you stay married to Victor and give the relationship a real chance? Or would you take the money and freedom and walk away? Is a relationship that started with such manipulation and revenge ever capable of becoming something genuine? If you enjoyed this story, please hit that like button and subscribe for more revenge tales, where the underdog comes out on top. Share your thoughts in the comments below. I'd love to know what you think Oakland should do next.